This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
That piece was called Intakes from The Snake Charmer. It was off an album called Abstract Playgrounds by I Hold the Lions. Paul Ruben Lewis is the leader of that band, and Ruben is with us in the studio this evening. Ruben, good evening.
Thanks for having me.
No worries. You've got another album coming out, I see, after Abstract Playgrounds, which was really good, and I enjoyed it very, very much.
Oh, thank you.
It was about 12 months ago, 18 months ago.
Yeah, it came out in February 2018.
Yeah, I've played it a fair bit when I've been playing music that deals with more abstract music or more, I guess, improvised jazz music. And
oh,
now you've got something else coming out. What's your new project?
I've got another album coming out with Lionsport, basically.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's about time to get the next one happening. Still a little while away before the official release, but it's pretty much in the bag now. So I guess this one, in a way, starts where we left off in the last album. It's a bit more sort of focused around groovy, electro-acoustic, kind of almost dancing music in some ways. And this time, instead of the main sort of pillars of influence being Fela Kuti, 70s Miles and Stockhausen, this time it's more John Hassell meets Ornette Coleman meets Tropical F Storm.
Yeah, I had a look at Tropical F Storm as well.
Oh, they're great.
I guess their music's not so much jazz music, whereas at least if you're looking at Ornette Coleman and you're looking at John Hassell, they are jazz musicians.
Yeah, totally.
Taking it down another path completely.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I guess this album's getting a little more grungy and sort of rocky in that you know, choice of aesthetic. But I think what the sort of common thread across those three musicians is just the way they produce their work and the sort of kaleidoscope of sounds and images that they sort of, you know, invoke when you listen to it. So I was a bit late to the Tropical F Storm game. I only heard about their album that came out in 2018 at the end of the year. And when I first heard it, it blew my mind, just because there was so many beautiful sort of surreal things, both in the harmony and the sort of narrative of what was going on, but also just like the hilarious kind of Aussie Bogan kind of flavour that went through the whole thing.
I guess they have vocals though with their album as well.
Yes.
And I listened to a fair bit of it this afternoon actually, just to familiarise myself with it, because I wasn't familiar with it. And some of those songs are quite funny, but some of them, I guess, are a bit raw as well.
There's Yeah.
We'd have to have our expletive warning on before
right.
just about all of them. And we have to have our expletive warning on before the name of the band as well.
That's right. There's also a density towards it in the way all the music is kind of clumped together. There's so much going on all the time, but it's so beautifully crafted and so intricate and interesting. And I think that is another common thread between those three artists I mentioned before. That it's, in one way, they're very clear as far as the aesthetic of what's going on, but there's always this kind of tremendous amount of information that is sort of sliding through without you even noticing.
With the new album, are you performing any of it at the moment?
Yes.
Is some of it out there? Because I know you've got some performances coming up and you said the album's not quite ready yet, but how have audiences reacted to it when you played the new bits?
Yeah, I mean, look, the Lionsport group is always performing. We've held a monthly concert at the Brunswick Green for almost 3 years
Tuesday
now.
Tuesday night, first Tuesday of every month,
yes. So we're always performing, and I guess the work that we're doing for this album has organically sort of grown out of that time. But the album itself was very much a studio project this time around. So I started recording it about a year ago in my little home studio in Reservoir, and basically took a bit of John Hassell's approach, which is kind of this collage sampling kind of aesthetic, and would sort of create these layers upon layers upon layers upon layers of sounds and ideas and compose these sort of sound collages from that. In a funny way, we've always been playing these tunes, but at the same time we're kind of reverse engineer the album in a live context. So we've got a couple of concerts rounding off the year of activity, and the idea is that we'll be performing the album live in that situation. So it's kind of almost like a pop aesthetic, you know, learn how to play the album after you've done it.
After you've done it, yeah, exactly right. Just with John Hassell, for those listeners who haven't heard much about John Hassell, he's not someone who would be a regular, I guess, performer that a lot of people may have heard of. He's a trumpeter, an American trumpeter. He's been on the scene for a long time, since the 1960s, but he's still recording and he is doing that sort of electronic stuff. His last, most recent album was in 2018. It was only last year.
Yes, and that was the album that kind of, you know, set it off for me in a way. Like, I guess at that point I was feeling a little bit creatively unsure as to what to do next with my own work. And then when that album came out, it just skyrocketed me into a different sort of space, because I followed John Hassell's work for a long time, and I guess most people may not have heard of him, but they would have heard him somewhere, you know.
He's a contributor, isn't he, to a lot of other bands. And
yeah, totally. I mean, he's about 82 now, and he first sort of got on the scene in the American minimalism sort of space. So for those of you who know Terry Riley's In C, he was on the first recording of that, which is a very famous American minimalist piece. But also he's on famous Talking Heads records. A lot of his albums in the 80s were produced by Brian Eno, so he's always been someone.
And Tears for Fears, I think he's been on their albums as well. Yeah,
he's always around. So I mean, he's just one of those characters that has had such an extraordinary influence on contemporary music in different ways, but wouldn't necessarily be a household name. So I got onto him when I was at university, and I've always sort of enjoyed his work. And when that album came out, it really kind of threw me into a whole different space.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Ruben Lewis from I Hold the Lion's Paw, we're talking about your new album that is coming up and your new shows, and I should tell our listeners that the album is called Lost in Place, so that we know what we're talking about. Interesting name. I kept on wanting to say Lost in Space, and I tried to type it a couple of times and I kept on typing Lost in...
I'm glad it works.
Lost in Space.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the title, I guess, comes from what I was saying earlier about I was kind of at a bit of a loss as to what was going on next in my creative life. I guess it's also a bit of a turning point for me. I've just turned 30. You know, that's not very old for many people, but for me, it's a bit of a moment. And I guess I'm at a point in my life.
It gets better.
Yeah. I've heard that's the case. And look, I feel so incredibly lucky to be living in a place like Melbourne where there's so much stuff going on. But you have those moments in your life where you have to sort of take a moment and think about what you want to do and where your music is headed. And I guess this whole album was kind of me trying to find my headspace again. So, and I guess there's been a lot of things, from a sort of broader political, social level, and from a, environmental level, that are kind of, throwing my head around in different areas. And so this was my kind of very personal response to all of that. So the album kind of plays around with these ideas. And I guess the way it's been made creatively also has a similar approach. There's very important places where the album was recorded that are a big part of my life, like my home studio, like where we recorded the first Lion's Paw album. And the people involved in the group, in the project, are very close to me. And a lot of them recorded at my house, So it's a very... It's one of those things where it's kind of a personal statement.
I guess, so you very kindly shared with us a couple of pieces that we're going to play for our listeners this evening prior to them being released, and one of them is called Finding Place. So I guess you've got the album called Lost in Place, and then your Finding Place are all those things that you just talked about. Is that your Finding Place then as well? I guess all the geopolitical stuff and the environment and all those sorts of things are your lost in place, and then your Finding Place in the right way?
Is that
where you got the names from? Or am I reading too much into it?
No. I'm glad it's working. This is the first time I've actually had a chance to talk to someone about it separately from, my partner and my own head. So yeah, but you're totally right. I guess the new album will be an 11-track album, and each title is one line from a longer poem in which the 11 tracks becomes part of. So
a little bit like Abstract Playground.
Exactly,
That reference to Sufi poem.
Exactly, to Affairs, So there's a strong line going through with all that sort of stuff, and I guess this time, instead of drawing on, 14th century Persian poetry, I've just made it up myself and gone personally. But yeah, I think this track that you'll hear today, Finding Place, was the first piece that was created for the album. So I guess it's appropriate that it is called Finding Place.
We should have a listen to it. What instruments are we going to be hearing on the album?
Well,
are you trumpeting?
Yes,
obviously.
Yes. In fact, the majority of this album, of this track, is just myself. So you hear me doing some trumpet, but then also all of the samples and electronics are produced myself, usually through synthesizers or trumpet themselves. And there's a little bit of guitar, which is a fantastic Tasmanian bass guitarist called Yuli Sving.
Okay, let's have a listen to it then. The piece is called Finding Place, and it's off the new I Hold the Lion. That was hard for me to say. I'll try that again. I Hold the Lion's Paw album, which is called Lost in Place.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
It's interesting how that particular piece started out very, very quietly and then filled up, and it's kind of a crescendo at the end, I guess.
It's very operatic in that way, isn't it? I guess, this is actually the opener, spoiler alert, of the album. It was kind of important for me to find a way to draw the audience in for this album, because, I guess if anyone's heard the previous album, it's quite a full assault of sounds and ideas and grooves and all that kind of thing. It's still quite accessible, but, it's very, there's lots going on, and this was a moment like that.
In the piece that we played earlier, which was called Intakes from the Snake Charmer off your other album, album called Abstract Playgrounds, that piece almost started as a more traditional jazz piece, with the trumpet in there and everything, and then it moved on to more electronica, whereas this is actually quite electronic from the beginning with the trumpet just coming in and out there.
This album has really started as an electronic, solo improvisation, really. Once again, I guess John's music has kind of been the point that's kind of encouraged me to go that far. And I guess for me, I've always wanted to be honest to my influences at the time and my interests, and I guess for a long time now I've been sort of moving more away from the sort of free jazz sort of thing, still keeping it, but moving towards these sort of more electronic sounds and groovier kind of, rockier influences and that kind of thing. So whenever I start making albums like this, it's really just responding in the moment to what's in my head, and I guess right now those are the sounds, whereas in 2017-18 when I was playing the other album, it was mostly Fela Kuti and 70s Miles and that kind of stuff. So
different things. You've also mentioned that you're also influenced by Ornette Coleman, and he's not a trumpeter either, and I know that you are a trumpeter, and that was part of your Miles influence, and John Hassell is a trumpeter, but Ornette Coleman is a sax player.
Yes.
How does that different for you?
I guess Ornette's a very important figure in the sort of free jazz, free improvisation world, of course. So
even from the late 1950s.
He was
involved in that.
Yeah,
more out there stuff.
Completely. And so I guess, anyone who's interested in improvisation and comes from a jazz background has to have Ornette in there somewhere just to understand where it's coming from, So there's that element, but I think also his band Primetime in particular is kind of a big influence in how I make my music and how I've made my music with my other collaborators, such as Ronnie Farella and people like that. And I guess a lot of the influence there is this sort of thing of multiple worlds and multiple sounds reacting together but separately in the same sort of space. So a lot of his Primetime things is like double quartets, so double rhythm section, all going at it on a different groove, but somehow there's this sort of parallel thing going where, there might be a one world going off in this direction, another one going off somewhere else entirely, and Ornette's kind of in the middle creating this sort of through line between all of it. So it's this kind of dense, kind of open, sort of a foreign sound to people who don't understand it, but then once you get in there, it's actually extraordinarily joyous and interesting and really active for your brain. So that's the big influence for me, I think, is that sort of that idea of, really joyful, really energetic music but with lots going on. Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
The piece was called Dreaming, and it's off a 2018 album called Listening to Pictures by an American trumpeter whose name is John Hassell. Been active since the 1960s, and that's a 2018 album. He's a little bit over 80 years old.
He's a hip dude.
He's a hip dude, and he's still, producing and recording and performing electronic music and improv or freestyles of jazz music. He's a very interesting man.
Oh, he's incredible. He's very articulate too with the work that he does. And what I love about him most is I read somewhere that these days he almost exclusively works in nightclubs in Europe. And the reason why is because a lot of his music is based around this idea of trance in a traditional form and in like a contemporary form as well. So his sort of take on it is that the only sort of modern day space to go into states of that kind of really immersive long form experience is a nightclub. So I just love the image of him, you know, playing to ravers at 4 a.m. in the morning in Europe. It's beautiful.
Well, it's interesting though what you say about trance though. Mm. I know you talk about ravers at 4 a.m. but you know, from a trance perspective as well, he did a lot of work I think during the 1980s. It might have been he was working in India a lot
and yes,
looking at different styles of Indian music as well, which also can be trance like in its depending on how you hear that sort of music.
Yeah, and a lot of his work is kind of looking
put it into normal streams of jazz.
Yeah, so, well I guess he has this whole concept towards his music called fourth world music, which is exactly that. So taking influence from traditional forms of music from India, from Indonesia, from Malaysia, from West Africa, and bringing elements of that both in a conceptual but also real world samples and ideas into a modern first world technological space. So that's kind of a very, very truncated version of that whole concept, but he's been working on this forever
he has been. Ornette Coleman as your other main influence here, apart from the other band with the expletive warning in their title, an Australian band. Ornette Coleman's album, 1977 album called Dancing in Your Head, you had mentioned that's also an influence as well.
That's right.
I actually hadn't heard of it and I had to listen to some of it this afternoon. But what is it about that particular album there that contributes to your new album, Lost in Place?
Yeah, well, I guess this was the first Ornette Coleman Primetime album that I heard. My old trumpet teacher, Miroslav Bukowski, which you play some of his tracks.
I did, I played Wanderlust earlier.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. He said you got to listen to this when I was at university. He put me onto this album in particular. And just the first track on this album is about 20 minutes long, so you won't hear that today. But I'd recommend you check it out because
there's actually three tracks on the album.
Exactly.
Side is the 20-minute piece and the other side is an 11-minute piece and a 5-minute piece.
Exactly, exactly. So you hear the short version now, but there's something just about how, once again, it's almost an assault in sound and unfamiliar things, but it's so joyous and it's so interesting. So I guess that kind of, I still feel that whenever I hear this album. I love it. It's so much fun.
There's obviously some Asian influence there, whether it was Indian or Indonesian, I'm not really sure.
I'm pretty sure it's Indonesian, yeah. I can't remember what region it is, but from what I remember, it's him actually playing with the ensemble on site as opposed to it being an overlay.
Yeah. And it was interesting, we both had the comment that the saxophone was playing in the background there, but it felt like it was there and it was meant to be part of that music when clearly it was a piece of perhaps some sort of Asian traditional dance music or ceremonial music or something like that.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of Ornette's music in that way, is that he always finds a way to fit perfectly amongst anything that's going on.
Yeah,
and his ensembles are always like that. They're always these wonderfully crazy kind of full-on combinations of instruments and influences and all that kind of thing, and he sits perfectly amongst all of it.
He does. Ruben, tell us about what's happening with your performances coming up as well, because
yes,
it's good that we've heard about the influences of the album and everything. Now we need to tell our people.
Yeah, you've got to come and see it live. Yeah, so we've got Lionsport have a couple of shows to finish off the year. Kind of nice. Best way to find out about the details for these is, of course, to sign up to my mailing list on rubenlewis.com. We can put a link up somewhere, of course. But also the I Hold the Lionsport Facebook page, which is at IHTLP. They're the best ones to get all the finer details. But the dates right now, just so you've got them. Next Thursday, the 17th of October, I'll be playing at Factory Sessions, which is a fantastic community-led arts organisation crew in Northcote. Following that, the 5th of November, a Tuesday at the Brunswick Green as part of our regular improv night there, the first Tuesday of every month, and we'll be having support by the Factory Sessions crew. Following that, the 22nd of November, supporting the Rookies for their Stay Weird LP launch, which will be a big one at the Evelyn Hotel. The 29th of November at the Strawberry Fields Festival as part of the Rookies Takeover evening. So there'll be a day of crazy jazz hosted by the Rookies. And then finally, to finish off the year, the 3rd of December for the Brunswick Green with support from the Impermanence Trio.
Sounds like a lot of music there people can go and have a listen to.
Yes.
And listen to your new works there. The album's available when?
Well, I think the album, it's not official yet when it'll be launched, so keep your eyes peeled for it. But if you're interested in the meantime, you can always check out the last album, which is called Abstract Playgrounds, and that's available on Bandcamp, Earshift Music, and through my website, rubenlewis.com.
Thanks, Ruben, for coming in and telling us all about that. We've been talking to Ruben Lewis from I Hold the Lion's Paw, and we've been talking about the new body of works and the new album, which is called Lost in Place. I got that right that time.
Well done.
Ruben, we're going to go out with one more piece, and thank you so much for coming in and joining us. The next piece is called Losing... We had Finding Place before, and now this piece is called Losing Space.
Yes.
Anything behind the title in that one?
Well, I guess this is the Ornette Coleman-influenced primetime piece for the thing for sure. And I guess this was the moment in the album where I went, let's just go for it.
Well, let's have a listen to it. Thanks
Thank
for coming
so
and
much.
Joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.